Hegel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is the 15th tape in the series entitled The Seven Experiential Attributes, recorded live at Hegel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning and good Yom Tov. And we are at the conclusion of Perek Gimel in Tanya. Thank you. Daf Zayin Amid Beis, the third line from the bottom, from the end of the page. Valkein Hadas. In the previous shir, we discussed at length the concept of Das, which the Alter Rebbe introduces at the conclusion of the third chapter of Tanya. Following the discussion regarding the faculties of Chachma and Bina in the human character, the faculties of conception and comprehension, the Alter Rebbe continued to discuss the third intellectual faculty in the divine soul of the Jew, which is Das. What is the definition of Das? The etymology of the word actually indicates bonding and connection. Das is Lashon Hiskashrus v'Hischabrus, and the Alter Rebbe explains that Das is the human being's ability to create fusion between the concept he conceived and comprehended and his very self. So following conceiving an idea and then comprehending an idea, which are both the first two stages crucial in having a relationship with a concept, with a new idea, with a seichel, a svara. Afterwards comes faculty of das, which plays a very crucial role, namely in connecting and linking the concept which the human being understood to his self, to his world, to his scope of reality, to his perception. Das, in other words, can be defined as application, applying the idea to your life. And the Alter Rebbe emphasizes that for this to happen, the human being must bind his mind with a very firm and strong bond, firmly fixing his thoughts on the concept he conceived and comprehended, that can create a fusion between the man and the idea. And this is, of course, not the same depth and meditation, contemplation, which the human being experiences in the realm of Bina. Over there, the human being is contemplating the idea, and all his energies and resources are focused to understand what is the idea, what is the essence of this idea. In Das, rather, it's not just contemplating the concept, but rather applying it to my world and my reality. And Alter Rebbe continued that in order for the intellectual faculties to give birth to the offsprings, which are the emotional feelings and experiences, responses in the human psyche, Das is very important. And in the case of the divine soul, where the intention is to experience a relationship with Hashem, without Das, the relationship will be to the best a vain fancy. The human being could be a chacham and a navain in the greatness and the reality of Hashem. But if there is not the dimension of das, ultimately this will not produce in one's soul true awe, reverence, and love, but rather dimyonis shav, vain fancies. And therefore the Alter Rebbe continues, let's look inside. Valkein, thus, hadas hukiyum hamidais v'chayusam. Das provides the substance and vitality of the midos. Das is crucial to provide the substance of the midos in order that your midos, the personal experience, should have substance. It has to be a reality in your world intellectually. Only then can you emotionally respond to it. But if there's no das, if it's aloof, if it's detached, if it's disconnected from the human being's reality, how can you experience it? Midos, is not only knowing about something, it's experiencing it. It's responding to it emotionally. It's having a personal relationship with it. If there's only Chachma and Bina, but there's no Das, fine. It's a beautiful concept. It's an amazing concept. It's even an extraordinary concept. But what does it have to do with me? They tell the story about Eastern European city, the Jewish culture in Eastern Europe. There was a famous concept known as the Shtat Meshuganer. Every Jewish city had a human being who was a Meshuganer, an imbecile. And he would entertain the entire community, the entire congregation. And those years under the very powerful persecution and misery the Jews experienced, the Shtat Meshuganer was sometimes the only consolation and source of comfort in difficult times. In one specific city, there was a famous Shtat Meshuganer. And once a year, he would make a performance. So the year, everyone would wait for this day, and this day the entire city, all Jews, men, women, and children assembled to the marketplace, and this person, they would build a stage for him, and he would get up, and for hours after hours, he would perform and demonstrate his ability to entertain human beings, and everyone would have the time of their life. They tell a story about one Shtat Meshuganer who was doing the performance, and everyone is standing and, as they say in Yiddish, kvelling, from laughter and enjoyment and joy upon this performance. And one Jew is Nabach standing, melancholy, depressed, tears streaming from his eyes. So his friend says, "Why are you so miserable? Why are you so sad? Why don't you laugh, rejoice, and celebrate with everyone else?" So he tells him in Yiddish, "Vazal lichtan, as der Meshuganer is mein Sohn." He says, "What should I do? This Meshuganer is my child. I cannot laugh about it." Without Das, it could be amazing. But as long as it's not your child, so it remains detached, disconnected. You can be happy about it, you can be sad about it, as you wish, whatever your mood is. Das makes it a reality in your world. The Meshuganer is minor. And then it can produce a feeling, an emotion, a passion in the human being's heart. So that, therefore, Das is both the substance of the Middos and it's the vitality, the catalyst and the bedrock of all the Middos. So therefore, in addition to Chachma and Bina being the mothers, the Imais, the Shalish Imais, the mothers, the source, the origin of the emotional faculties, Das is the third one of these Shalish Imais, which is very important to produce the respective Middos. And Alter Rebbe continues, Vuhu Kailil Chesed Ugvura. It, Das, comprises Chesed and Gvura. The element, the attribute of Chesed, of loving kindness, of benevolence, and Gvura, the attribute of strength, of might, of restraint, of justice. Pirush, that is to say, when we say that Das is the substance and validity of the Middos, and it includes Chesed and Gvura, we mean not only Chesed and Gvura per se, but Ahava v'anafeh v'yirav anafeh. Love with those other middos that are its offshoots, and awe, yirah, with those other middos that are its offshoots. Anafeh means offshoots, branches. Das includes chesed and gvura, and all the other middos which are the offshoots of chesed and gvura, of ahava and yirah. We say about das that it includes both chesed and gvura. Not about Chachma and Bina. Because when the realm of Chachma and Bina, you can understand, conceive and comprehend that something is very good, and you can simultaneously comprehend that something else is very not good, is very negative. But your excitement and your response to the comprehension of both ideas is identical. Because there is no personal involvement over here. It's an abstract idea. So you can come, you're learning in Gemara, a sugya, about a defendant and a plaintiff. So either you can come to the conclusion that the defendant was innocent or that the plaintiff was guilty. It's really irrelevant. It's not like if the defendant comes out to be innocent, I love you. And if you're guilty, I despise you. The whole idea is over here, the intellectual fascination, the intellectual comprehension, the intellectual curiosity. The actual reality of the human being does not play any role over here. It's the svara you're trying to understand. It does not play a role in your personal life. So chesed and gvura, the polarity of existence, is not so conspicuously felt in the realm of Chachma and Bina. In Das, however, we say, Das, when the knowledge actually becomes a reality in your world, this is the border between knowledge and experience. This is the last stage before you can actually experience Midos. Das already possesses, somehow, in a subtle manner, the polarity, the duality, the multiplicity of Chesed and Gvura. It's interesting, this is one of the reasons Chassidus explains why in our Tefillin Shal Rosh there are four batim. In the Tefillin Shal Yad, the Tefillin we put on our arm, there's one bias, one container, one home. Tefillin Shal Rosh, there's a distinction of four elements, and the four parshis have to be divided by a mechitza, by a wall in the Tefillin Shal Rosh. And one of the reasons for this on a spiritual level is because the concept, one of the main ideas that Tefillin is supposed to introduce into our life, is create a link, a fusion, a connection between what we know and what we experience. Between our meichin and our midos, between our mind and our heart. That's why we put one set of Tefillin on our arm, corresponding to our heart, which is the abode of our feelings and passions. And the other Tefillin on our mind, which is the abode of our thoughts and understanding, our cognitive faculties. We put them both in the terminology of Shulchan Aruch Simen Chafei. The concept is Shibud Halei VeHamayach, to subjugate, to create harmony between the mind and the heart towards a higher goal, to connect it to the divine reality. And that is every single morning a Yid puts on Tefillin, because one of the most fundamental aspects of Yiddishkeit is that there's no dichotomy between what you know is right and how you actually live your life. Many people, I know this is right. What about your day-to-day life? It's totally not in sync with what you understand to be right. In Yiddishkeit, we discussed last week at length the difference between Chachma and Torah. If it's true, it has to be true on all levels. So therefore, Tefillin, which symbolizes this fact, Tefillin Shel Reish has four elements. It has Chachma, Bina, Das, but Das includes Chesed and Gvura, because the point of Das is to actually introduce a personal experience. So therefore, Das is sometimes subdivided into two elements, Chesed and Gvura. Thus, Tefillin Shel Reish have four batim. And this is so important to emphasize in Tefillin, because the concept of Tefillin is not to remain in the realm of Meichin, but to actually continue it and introduce it to the realm of Midas. So therefore in Tefillin we emphasize this polarity that exists within the realm of the intellectual faculty of Das. Yeah.
When you put the two things before, doesn't it make a new entity with Tiferes?
When you put the two Chesed and Gvura together, doesn't it create a new entity Tiferes? Okay, we will discuss Tiferes in a moment and its fusion between Chesed and Gvura. Now, the Alter Rebbe over here concludes Perek Gimel of Tanya. And he introduces a concept to us that Ahava has many offshoots, and Yira has many offshoots, and Das encompasses all of them. In the actual Perek, the Alter Rebbe does not discuss, explain, or certainly not elaborate what are these offshoots of Ahava and Yira. But this is what he does systematically throughout this Perek. In the beginning of the Perek, the Alter Rebbe told us that every single soul of the Jew consists of 10 keiches, 10 faculties, 10 attributes, 10 abilities, corresponding to the 10 divine spheres, the 10 supernal attributes, the 10 supernal projections that Hashem emanated from Himself. The Alter Rebbe continued, 3 are called imois, 7 are called kfulois, 3 are intellectual, and 7 are more experience-like, emotional. And he enumerates. The first 3 are Chachma Bina Das. The final 7 are Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Chulu, etc. He doesn't enumerate the other ones. The same is true in the soul of man. There's a division in the 10 Keiches to 2 sections. The first section includes Chachma Bina Das, the cognitive faculties. And the second section, the Midos, include Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Ulefarai. Again, he enumerated 3 emotional attributes, chulu, etc., without enumerating the other 5. So in the Perek, he does discuss what Chachma is, what Bina is, what Das is, and the emotional responses of Ava and Yira, indicating and alluding to the other five attributes by saying that these are all included already in Ava and Yira. And therefore, before, when he said that Chachma bin Adas are the mothers that give birth to all the Midas, and he only explained Ava and Yira, so he left us short of what about the other Midas. So the Alter Rebbe continues, he says, a few lines earlier, we learned last week, that the other Midas are all offshoots of Yira and Ava. So if Chachma bin Adas produce Yira and Ava, naturally they also produce all the other Midas. Now, as a principle, in these classes of Tanya, I attempt not to divert to other issues which are not discussed in Tanya, just to focus, elaborate, and concentrate on the concepts Alter Rebbe is teaching us in Tanya. However, in this case, since the Alter Rebbe makes clear allusion to these other Midas, and he wants us to understand that the divine soul consists of these 10 faculties, furthermore, throughout the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is constantly going to mention this principle, that every human being, every soul, consists of 10 basic personality traits and faculties, which give rise and birth to all the millions of thoughts, deeds, instincts, motives, activities, passions in the human experience. So I will devote today's class to discuss briefly and give at least a general outline and sketch of what these 7 midos are in the human experience, so we can understand what the divine soul experiences within these 7 midos. And what I say now is based on other discourses and works of the author of the Mechaber, namely in the fourth section of Tanya Igeres HaKadosh, chapter 15, and many other places in his Svarim, as well as in the Hasidic Svarim of his followers, of the Rebbes, of the Chabad Lubavitch dynasty. We begin, of course, with Chesed. The 3 intellectual faculties we discussed at length, Das, last week, Chachma and Bina the 2 weeks before in classes, 12, 13, and 14. So today we focus on the 7 Midos. I dispersed over here a sheet, which you can use over here, and you can take home for further study and the comprehension of this concept. Chesed, attraction. Chesed is the ability, the faculty that exists within the human being, that we can be attracted by a thing, by a phenomenon, by an event, by another human being. This is the 4th faculty, it is the 4th sphera, the sphera of Chesed. If you're attracted by something, you want to be close to it. If you like something, you want to be close to it. Parents love their children, they're attracted by their children, they want to be close to them. Children are attracted and love their parents, they want to be close to them. The same is true about marriage relationship, close friends, colleagues, and so on and so forth. So attraction causes us to give of ourselves to another person, of ourselves, of our time, of our possession, of our resources. It's creating a positive relationship, a connection. It's fusing 2 realities, it's bringing people together. Chesed encompasses everything that is connected with benevolence, kindness, grace, love, and attraction. That is the ability of Chesed. And of course, we understand that this is the most important component in the human experience, the ability to share ourselves and our life with another individual. Love, Chesed, is the art of transcendence. It's the art of giving of yourself to another human being or to another person, and so on and so forth. That is what Chesed is all about. You'll find in the translations of the Sfirois many translations, and it's extremely difficult to find one word to articulate totally the meaning of every single one. But over here, the translation we used over here, I think, is one that will encompass quite a wide spectrum of the different connotations included in the word. For example, attraction encompasses the wide range of what chesed means. Then we continue to the 2nd faculty, and it's gvura. Gvura stands in opposition to chesed. It's the faculty, the attribute of rejection. It's the ability in the human being to reject. to reject a thing, an event, a concept, a human being, a phenomenon, himself. It's the concept of rejection. And this includes everything, like discipline, awe, restraint, reverence, withdrawal, judgment, and so on and so forth. This is all included in Gvura, some type of rejection. There is active rejection and passive rejection. There is rejection through words, and rejection through deeds, rejection through silence. But it's the concept, the ability in the human being to withdraw. The Kotzke Rebbe once said in Yiddish, he says, "Ich bin ich, weil du bist du. Und du bist du, weil ich bin ich. Bin ich nicht ich und du bist nicht du. Aber ich bin ich, weil ich bin ich. Und du bist du, weil du bist du. Jemal bin ich ich. Und du bist du, und wir können unable reden. If I am I because you are you, and you are you because I am I, then I am not I and you are not you. But if I am I because I am I, and you are you because you are you, then I am and you am, and we can begin to talk." And this is very important, that together and simultaneous with the attribute, the ability to be attracted and to attract, the ability to connect, to have a positive relationship, there is the concept of setting boundaries. There is a concept of disciplining, of restraint, of withdrawal, of judgment. That is Gvura. Then we come to the third faculty, which is the faculty of Tiferes. Tiferes, literally, is to be translated as beauty, but in a more general word, it can be translated as harmony or integration. What is Tiferes? Tiferes is probing a step deeper than Chesed and in Gvura. Tiferes blends and harmonizes the free outpouring love of Chesed and the discipline of Gvura. And Tiferes possesses this power not because it is a combination of Chesed and Gvura. That is wrong. Its power it contains because it introduces a third, deeper dimension which transcends both Chesed and Gvura, and thus Tiferes can blend the two. What is the meaning of this? You can see it in a very conspicuous manner, a teacher in a classroom. A teacher in a classroom is an event, a phenomenon, where there's a one person with 20 children, and throughout the hour or 2 hours that he's teaching his students, the vast interaction that has to take place is unbelievable. There are 20 students with different backgrounds, different faculties, different types of personalities, different characteristics, and so on and so forth. One child needs a smile. Another child needs a nod with the head. Another child has to see that you saw, you observed what he did, but you're not doing anything. Another child, you have to outright rebuke for what he did. Another child, you have to encourage. Another child, sometimes you have to shout at. Not shout, but express words of rebuke. And the teacher has to make hundreds of decisions in the spirit of a moment. How do I react to this child, to the needs of this one, to the act of this one, to the word that he uttered, to this one sleeping, to this one's dreaming, to this one not listening, to this one being chutzpahdik, etc., etc. That's the art of a teacher. A teacher who only possesses the attribute of chesed, of love, is a wonderful human being. It's a human being who loves, we say in Yiddish, a guter mensch, a good person. A human being who loves other people, who feels for another person, who sees the good in other individuals, who appreciates someone beyond himself. There's another teacher who's a disciplinarian and mastered the art of the disciplinarian. But if you remain fixed in one of these dimensions, then the class can turn out, instead of being a gold mine, to be a minefield. Because students are so different, so varied. A successful teacher would be someone who we will call someone who mastered the art of charisma. Who for one child, he knows that this one you have to give a smile of love. And the other one you have to demonstrate an image of discipline, of restraint, of awe, of reverence. And the successful teacher is the one who manages to harmonize and blend these attributes on a constant basis, and this is from second moment to moment decision. This is what Tiferes is all about. What does it come from? Chesed and Gvura is a fixed nature. There are human beings who are good people, who are loving people, who are kind people. And there are human beings who are disciplinarians. There are human beings who always manage to overlook the frailties, the wrongdoings of other individuals, and to see the good. And there are other human beings who never fail not to observe the wrongdoing, the misdeeds of another human being, and always make sure to discipline. They're always focusing if he deserves it or he doesn't deserve it. How is this going to educate him and lead him in the long run of his life? The disciplinarian is very much receptive to the exact, calculating meticulously the exact character and personality of the other individual, and not, God forbid, doing anything that goes beyond the framework of what the other person can contain and deserves, and so on and so forth. So the good person embodies, personifies a nature of love, and the other human being a nature of discipline, of judgment, of awe. Tiferes, however, is getting a step deeper. Tiferes is going beyond the mode of your personality, the faculties of your traits. Tiferes is entering the essence of the human experience, appreciating the fact that you are human. And then your relationship to the other human being is also in that dimension. Your relationship to the other human being is not a response to your faculties, to your being kind or your being a tough disposition. Your relationship to another human being is due to his humanity, due to him being human. Chesed allows us to be attracted by other people. Tiferes allows us to experience other people. Not only to love another person, to come close to another person, because that is your midah. Tiferes means to relive his vantage point, to become him for a moment. And therefore, Tiferes is identified in Kabbalah and Hasidism as compassion, rachmanis, or empathy. What is empathy? What is compassion? Chesed does not have empathy. Chesed loves. Chesed sees the good. Gvura focuses on what has to be rectified. Tiferes is very well aware of what has to be rectified, of the wrongdoings of the human being. But Tiferes allows you to experience him, and he's a human being. So despite all odds, you can help him. You can forgive him. You can give to him. You can love him. There's a gewaldike marsha in Masechta Ksuvos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, of the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan Ketzed Mirakten Lifnei HaKala. How do you dance in front of the Kala? You have to praise a Kala as she is. Every bride, you have to say the same praise. She's beautiful and kind. What if the Kala was, God forbid, lame or blind? You're going to say about her that she's beautiful and graceful. The Torah tells us, Midvar Sheker Tirchik, you're not allowed to utter a lie. How are you going to lie? I'm saying, Kala Kamay Shehi, every bride, you praise according to her respective individual qualities. But you're giving this phrase, you're coining a phrase that could be applied to every Kala. That's not true. You're uttering a lie. So what did Beis Hillel answer? Shtar Ketayna. According to you, if your friend goes out to the market and purchases something, and he comes to you, he says, my dear friend, how do you like it? And you despise it. You think it's disgusting. It's ugly. You would never spend a dollar for it. So what should you do? Should you praise it in his eyes? Should you compliment him? Should you say it's nice? Or should you say, eh, what a waste of money? Certainly, if you're a normal, caring person, you give him a compliment. So Beis Hillel is saying, the same is true here. Although you dislike it, What Beis Hillel seems to say is, just when someone buys something you dislike, you compliment it. And the Gemara says, from here we know that a person's das should always be intertwined, intermingled with other human beings, with other creatures. What's pshat? What is Beis Hillel answering Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai said, you're not allowed to lie. So Beis Hillel is saying, you see people lie every day. You buy a suit, you like my suit, you hate it, it's a beautiful suit. You know you wouldn't spend a dollar on it. So what is Beis Hillel answering him? So there are those few mafarshim who say Beis Hillel is trying to say that afal pishayim er sheker. Though the Tosfos Rit said it's mashma from Tosfos like that, that even if the person is saying sheker, Beis Hillel is trying to say that you have to introduce it in such a way. That's how you have to deal with people. But the question is that Beis Hillel's shitta indeed? Is that how we are to understand the Gemara? So Beis Hillel is basically of the shitta that you have to be politically correct, compromise your ideals, your truth, say the right thing to the right person and forget about what truth is. Beis Shammai is a man of truth. Is that what Beis Hillel personified? Halachik Beis Hillel b'chlam. What does that tell us? The Marsha Tainis Beis Hillel is telling us a truth. When your friend goes out to the market and buys something, and he comes back to you, and he asks you, do you like it or you dislike it? So the Marsha is saying, he likes it. By him, it's beautiful. So when you're saying it's beautiful, in his world, it's taka beautiful. Sasam v'loy pirish. What pshat in the Marsha? Of course we know that in his eyes it's beautiful, but you're saying it's beautiful. You're not allowed to say a lie. So what is the Marsha explaining? Pshat is, it depends how you give a compliment. If you're stam disconnected from his worldview, so of course, HaTeira Amr Midvar Sheker Tichak. Beis Hillel is saying, if you're a true friend, experience his perspective. Enter his garments. Put on his pair of glasses for a few moments. So when you say it's beautiful, it's taka beautiful. Because you can appreciate him from his perspective, not from your perspective. Kala Nova Chasuda. If the chassan of the groom has chosen this bride for his wife, in his eyes, she's the most beautiful woman that exists in the world. If not, he wouldn't have chosen to marry her. So if you can appreciate him, when you say kalanava chasuda, you are saying, talking 100% truth. Mikan amru chacham, now we understand the la'aylam te'idaitish ladam urevesim abriyas. This is the perspective of Tiferes. Tiferes allows us to probe into a deeper part into ourselves and therefore experience a deeper part of another human being. Not only love him, be attracted to him, come close to him, but experience him. Create a total harmony. Thus, Tiferes is titled Harmony. Why harmony? It's creating harmony between you and your humanity. It's creating harmony between you and your fellow man who you're having a relationship with. And it's creating harmony between attraction and rejection. As long as you remain fixed in your mode of experience, so then either you're a wonderful, loving person or you're a disciplinarian. But the moment you experience the other human being from his vantage point, over here suddenly, whatever the need of the moment is, that's what you exercise. So the teacher in class, one child needs love, needs a smile, he will smile. The other child needs to be disciplined, he will be disciplined. It creates a harmony because in the world of Tiferes, the distinction does not exist anymore. Tiferes applies itself to every situation and maximizes the opportunity. Same is true with the parents and children. Every parent knows you have different children and children are different. Many children are different. One child, if you say certain things, it's very helpful. Another child, if you say the very same statements, it can be destructive. And this very clear calculation of who needs what at what time is an art, and it is the art of Tiferes. Then we continue with Netzach. Netzach is the fourth emotional faculty, and literally it means victory. Victory actually conveys the message. It could be translated as endurance, perseverance, competitivity, as it's translated over here. And finally, afterwards, we come to Hayd, which means submission, devotion. Netzach and Hayd are very similar to Chesed and Gvura, but with a major difference. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes are emotional faculties. Netzach, Hod, and the other ones are functional faculties. Netzach is the power to endure in the midst of difficulties, despite all odds. Netzach is our ability to fight for something and to triumph, to be victorious. Netzach is our ability to prevail in the most difficult of situations and circumstances. Netzach is usually stimulated by opposition, by challenges, by hardships, by trials, by tribulations. It evokes, every one of us has in him the ability of fortitude, the faculty of ambition, which is provoked by an adversary many times, which creates and gives us the catalyst, the challenge to overcome. Hod is exact contrary. Hod is submission, devotion. You have two types of people. You have people who love competition. They're great at it. Whenever there's a problem, they're there. They're excellent in fighting off adversaries. They love challenges. It brings out the best in them. There are other people who are masters of submission. They don't need no competitivity, no challenges. They're masters of waking up at the same minute every morning for 60 years and walking down the same path and the same road in your life, totally submitted and devoted silently to your task at hand. That's the difference between Netzach and Hod. You have lecturers who are very good to bring down for one time. You know what they do? They stimulate an audience. They create electricity in the air. And people say, wow, this is wonderful. But as weeks go by, there is no information to sell. People want to hear something. You have teachers who are very good in challenging the students. But there are other teachers who are very, very good in preparing their homework, which is a very silent, boring, sometimes monotonous job. Netzach is the power in us to be stimulated by adversaries and to overcome. It's our ability to fight for something. Hod is our ability to submit and devote ourselves to a specific task at hand. Netzach and Hod are both crucial. Both crucial. It's very interesting because the faculties of the human being, the 10 faculties, correspond according to the Kabbalah to the makeup of our body. The 3 cognitive faculties of Chochmah Bina Das are 3 parts, 3 sections in the human brain. Chesed is the right arm. Gvura is the left arm. Tiferes is the torso, the actual body. Netzach and Hod are defined as the 2 feet of the human being. Netzach is the right leg and Hod the left leg. What is the definition of the 2 legs? It's not the actual life of the human being, but it's the foundation on which the entire human structure, the human anatomy stands. And the same is true regarding Netzach and Hod. Netzach and Hod are functional spheres. Chachmah bina das, chesed gvura tiferes mold our character. But they give us something to fight for. They give us something to submit our life to. Something to devote our life to. But without Netzach and Hod, you are incapable to get anywhere. You cannot walk anywhere. Nothing will ever be implemented. If you're not ready to fight for your relationships, if you're not ready to fight for an ideal, if you're not ready to fight for something, if you cannot prevail in all circumstances, despite the challenges, despite the trials, so the moment there's a problem, it's all over. The same is true if you only have Netzach and you don't have Hod. It's also very difficult to actually implement. These are functional. These are the manner how Chesed and Gvura Tiferes are realized, either through Netzach or through Hod, through a combination of both.